Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standing is with us. He was in Philadelphia last night to see Washington lose 26-18. One of those games where, you know, there are controversial decisions in the game made, which makes for good discussion the day after. But I'll start by just asking you, you know, you were there overall. What was your sense as to, you know, more than anything else, why they lost?
Yeah, well, look, I think the defense played very well. Like, it's almost as if there's like a complete 180 that's occurred here, where now the defense, I'm not going to say it's the strength of the team off of a game or two, but, you know, the defense played very well. They were flying around in the first half, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chinn, and others. And, you know, the Eagles have a lot of talent on offense, and this was not a game where, you know, A.J. Brown crushed them like last year, and, you know, Jalen Hurts was good, but he wasn't like killing them. And they were, you know, playing well. The problem is that I think it was a classic example of a team that just, when you're on the field too long, you start to run out of gas. And at one point I looked, with like 10 minutes to go, the time of possession gap was 30-20. And they wore down, and they wore down in part because the offense really struggled to sustain drive. They were 3 of 12 overall on third down. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that what we saw last night from the offense was a far cry from the better moments that this team has had this year. That it was Jaden Daniels, I think, you know, sort of toughest overall game, and I'm sure we'll discuss whether he's healthy or whatnot. But, you know, other than Brian Robinson and Nelson Eckler, they just didn't get anything going at all. And, you know, my take has been from jump, and that's something I've been trying to remind myself and, you know, my various audiences the last few weeks, is one reason they have been winning is because they've been playing very clean football beyond some of the big plays that Daniels delivers. But that has started to turn the last few weeks. You know, last week there was the drops that were being an issue, and, you know, you're starting to just see more mistakes here and there. And, you know, that's the thing. This is still not a team that has tons of, you know, high-end talent, certainly not compared to the Eagles.
Right.
And I just think that ultimately, you know, whatever we want to say about why the offense is struggling, this is a team that, if they're going to win, they can't afford big mistakes, even if they're like a bunch of little mistakes over the course of a game. And that's kind of where I think ultimately, you know, they lost this thing. They just didn't play nearly clean enough football. And the Eagles' best players, you know, Barkley in particular, obviously, you know, showed up.
Yeah, one thing that I'm just going to point out, because I can do this with you, I agree, and I've said throughout the morning that the defense started to get gassed and they started to break a little bit from being on the field a lot. At the same time, you know, the Eagles only had the ball four times in the second half. They came out and they moved it, you know, 6-minute drive, 10 plays, kicked a field goal. The next one was, you know, another six, 5.5 minutes. They had 270 yards and a half and averaged 9.5 yards per play. I thought the defense was outstanding in the first half. I thought it played really well. And I think that part of it was, you know, getting gas. But part of it was also we started to see the defense that we've seen, because they gave up more yards in a half, and Philly was 4 for 4. They scored 3 touchdowns and kicked a field goal on 4 second half drives, averaging 9.6 yards per play. And in a game like that, when your offense isn't, you know, it was off, and we'll get to, you know, why we think the reasons were, and you're not scoring, but you've held them in the first half to 3, you're going to have to come up with a couple of more stops in the second half to win, you know, an ugly game like the game we were watching last night. And they didn't. It's still not the reason they lost. Offense was number one reason. So I would ask, before we get to what happened offensively, what do you think? We've kind of talked about this. Quinn kind of doubled down with some of the things you've heard and I've heard, which is, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was more of an issue than in the last 2 games. What do you think? Is he hurt or not? And if so, what's the injury? Is it the hand or finger, or is it the ribs?
Well, you know, obviously we asked both of them about this, and they both said, no big deal. Now, I'm not watching the broadcast because, you know, in the press box, I was told or saw online, I guess, there was, like, some camera footage, you know, on Jaden Daniels that looked like he was getting, I don't know, padded up or something. Tell me if I'm wrong on that. Are you talking about
the cut on the hand?
No, was there something?
Oh, well,
he was
that's
getting,
actually happened the last couple of games where you see them, yeah, you know, putting the pads back to wherever they're supposed to, the rib pads, whatever he's wearing.
Right. Okay.
Was happening in the Bears game and the Giants game.
Right. So, I mean, the Bears game, you know, Quinn said that, like, yeah, Jaden was hurting a little bit the game after Carolina. You could tell where his mind was racing when he said the game after Carolina, and then he goes, like, but he couldn't remember who the opponent was. I'm like, that was the Hail Mary game, but okay. Look, I mean, there's a clear line of demarcation between when he was walking on water to now he's, you know, the offense has looked like it's drowning a little bit, and I have to imagine on some level there's something going on there. Now, the hand itself, he said it wasn't an issue, so, you know, you take him at his word. To that end, something is definitely off. I think the question is, and this leans into more of like what's going wrong with the offense, is, you know, it's now week 11. There's plenty of tape out there. The last two opponents they played, you know, are arguably the two best all-around teams that they've gone against. No disrespect to the Ravens, but their defense is kind of a mess this year. And, you know, maybe it's just that. You know, maybe if, you know, you play Pittsburgh in week 3 and the Eagles now, it doesn't look the same, but, you know, they have been, when they've gone head to head against teams that we believe to be NFL contenders, they've come up short every time. And, you know, it's hard to say if he's hurt. We ask the questions, but clearly something is off. So if it's not that he's hurt, then the opponents are starting to figure him out and the offense out, which isn't to say that they can't adjust, but to some extent they haven't yet. So those two would seem to be the primary rationale for why Jaden's play has been off. So if they're saying he's not hurt, then, you know, then it's the opposite. Then it's the other. They, you know, the team.
Well, so which do you believe?
Who am I to say that he's hurt? I feel like he's got to be hurt to some degree, but at the same time, and again, this is maybe a certain bias of knowing the history with Cliff Kingsbury's teams. There's just one of the big questions going, you know, when he first got here, was that his teams historically, whether in college or with the Cardinals, start off hot and then begin to fade. And there's always this notion of all the opponents are figuring them out, and I guess Cliff isn't adjusting or what have you. So, again, I mean, like, even the Bears game, right, the Bears have a top 10 defense as well, or at least they did statistically at the point that they played them. So, the schedule has gotten tougher. Maybe it is just that. But, you know, something is definitely...
I mean, they had nearly 500 yards of offense against the Bears. I mean, I know that the scoring didn't come with it because of the red zone inefficiencies, but he played pretty well against Chicago, and I'm talking about before the Hail Mary.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm just saying that, like, on paper, they have played 3 of the tougher defenses that they have faced. And, you know, there is always that notion of yards versus points. But, okay, whatever it is. I'm just saying,
saying specific to him, he played well against the Bears and the Giants. And by the way, running the football wasn't an issue in either game.
Right. So, you know, look, when it comes to the injury stuff, all we can do is go off of what they tell us. They've been pretty insistent that it's not. I mean,
yeah,
like I said,
Quinn said,
hey, yeah, no, Jaden was hurting a bit in that Bears game, but he's been okay since. And Jaden, you know, I get that the player in particular is always going to take, no, I'm fine, don't worry about it. But,
right.
You know, something is definitely off. And, again, the line of demarcation is there, that Carolina game, in terms of the you know, it's – even if you want to say he played fine against the Bears and the Giants, which I'm not arguing that he didn't, but it was, you know, starting to feel this was taking a slight dip, and now it's, you know, gone much further.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that I think that the best game QBR-wise of his season was the Giant game. I mean, he threw dimes in that game and had scrambles and did the same thing. That's where, for me, there's a bit of a disconnect, which is why I kind of believe what they've said and what I've heard. I'm not saying that he hasn't been sore, and I'm also not saying that the hand might not have been an issue, because apparently he cut his hand in the Pittsburgh game as well, and I don't know if it's the same cut. I would assume there's a chance that it was the same cut, but, you know, the Giant game, we were jaw-dropping with some of the throws and some of the plays
Sure. Well, he made in that game. Also, the Giants are terrible, and so, like, to my point of, like, you know, I mean, yeah,
they are, but so is Carolina, you know, and, you know, and so is Cleveland, and Baltimore, he had one of his better games, even though they lost.
For the team in general.
And they were one-dimensional in that game. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, again, you know, in Baltimore, again, the Ravens defense might be the worst in the league, and
The Ravens defense isn't the worst in the league. It's the worst pass defense in the league.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, so that's kind of important for the quarterback. But, yeah, so anyway, my point is just that the team as it's in total, they have taken care of the teams that are below them or don't play or are not playing well in a given day. But when they've gone up against teams who, you know, are match them or are better them in terms of whatever talent and execution, they haven't kept up. And, again, I want to keep going back and forth, but, like, you know, the Giants are the only team in this last stretch that is a particularly poor defense over the course of the year, and that's the one game I agree. And he was looked really good, but it's something that's been often, you know, I can't pinpoint that he got hit by some defender on this play and that triggered X, Y, or Z.
I think we're actually more in line. I think it's more about the last two opponents than it is soreness or hand. I'm not saying that hasn't played a part. I think it's a lot of things. And the Cliff thing is a possibility too, but I think they just played two excellent defensive football teams who are very well coached as well. And I think that has something to do with it. And I think ignoring that and trying to, I'm not saying you're doing this, you're not. I'm just saying that the people that are trying to rationalize these last two games, last night in particular, because last night was different than Sunday against Pittsburgh, trying to rationalize it as, well, clearly he's hurt and that's why he didn't play well. I think it's more than that. That's all. And I think we're saying the same thing on that front.
Yeah, and it goes back to my other point of, like, you know, when Sam Cosmi talked after the Steelers game and he explained why he felt compelled to speak up in the locker room as a guy who never does, and one of his quotes was, look, we're not the most talented team, but we play hard, we try hard, we play for each other. All good sentiments, but the key point is they're not the most talented team. And when you take away, you know, when Terry McLaurin gets his first target in the third quarter, well, okay, it's not like you can just say, well, you know, if that happened with A.J. Brown, you can't just say, well, go throw the ball to Devontae Smith. They don't have that, right? And as good as, like, Brian Robinson is, he's not Saquon Barkley. So, you know,
and
et cetera, et cetera. So,
and you don't have a Jalen Carter on defense either.
Well, and you know, there's no, you know, they don't have Lane Johnson. Their offensive line's really good. But the Eagles just have a better roster talent-wise.
They do.
Issue is just, you know, the question is just, you know, their coaches, I heard you talk about the other day, their coach is a little bit wacky. That they've been.
Yeah, but their coordinators aren't.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, it's, you know, again, to just take a, you know, five steps back, you know, again, if we go back to the beginning of the season and we say, hey, they'll be 7-4, blah, 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 everybody would take it. It's just it's coming right now, back-to-back weeks in particular, where they've lost. And, you know, what was so great, you know, what was so celebrated earlier in the year, the efficiency in particular, you know, has definitely not been there, and it makes, you know, it leads to questions, but there are also questions that are only occurring because they've been winning, and nobody saw the winning happening. So, you know, if they were 3-7, we wouldn't be talking too much about what happened last night other than just, hey, how's Jaden doing? So, it, you know.
Right. Which was, you know, if they really weren't going to be, if they were going to hit the Vegas over-under number before the season, we were going to be talking in week 10, week 11. Yeah, but, you know, the issue this year is all about what's the quarterback look like. All right. So there were, you know, some, as we talked to Ben Standig, at Ben Standig on X on Twitter, Ben Standig writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to it. And Ben has a podcast called Standig Room Only. So where do you weigh in on the 4th-and-2?
Yeah, in real time, you know, we were sitting there in the press box looking at it, and I was a little surprised when I saw the offense staying on the field. I you know, putting aside, you know, it's not often Cyber Zangadalis has kicked in this league. He's made every kick, so it's you know, he already made one basically the same distance, so that can't be the issue, right? So, okay, so now the question is, what are you doing? Here's what I think that Dan. So basically, I think they should have kicked in. Okay, I think what Dan Quinn was trying to do was a couple things. One, he saw that at that point the Eagles had just gone up and down the field twice in a row to get a field goal and a touchdown, and he could probably see the defense is starting to slip enough. That he didn't just want to say, we're up by 1 point, give the Eagles the ball and feel comfortable that they're going to stop them. Sure, Jake Elliott had missed two field goals and the extra point, so you hold no field goal, maybe that's, you know, you take that chance. But I think to some degree he was trying to buy time for his defense by going for it, thinking, okay, if we go for it, run off another few minutes, that gives them a little more time to rest, et cetera, and then we have to kick a field goal, so be it. But I didn't love it. I mean, the Eagles were winning at the line of scrimmage all night, right? Jaden's clearly himself. So whether it's a run or a pass, I don't know how you're feeling particularly great about it. Now, you know, of course, the play itself, there was a botch. It looked like the offensive line was not in sync and, you know, all that. But I would have kicked it, taken the lead. I mean, look, also, the score, even if, you know, at that point it was, what, 12-10? I mean, the flow of the game was, you know, kick the field goal. And what I also wrote in my story that's up this morning is, you know, Quinn explained it. Hey, we've been great on fourth down this year, which they have. That we have an aggressive mindset. Okay. That they planned going in to think, hey, we're going to probably have to take a shot here somewhere against a team that's really good for us to win, probably knowing that they're the underdog. I don't just mean point spread wise, but just, you know, talent wise, things like that. But this is where, you know, I always call this sort of like academia versus real life. Like, it's one thing to say this is what we're going to do broadly, but it's another to say, well, again, the quarterback looks off, the offensive line's getting beat up, you know, take the lead. Like, I just think that, like, it was maybe the circumstances probably were not factored in enough would be my view overall versus saying, yeah, go for it, because that's, you know, your mentality. I just think the circumstances dictated kick the field goal, take the lead, and, you know, go from there.
What did you think about the final 4.5 minutes down 16?
Well, so to be honest, you know, I have to, like, write, and I'm doing 12 things. So, and at that point, I assumed sort of the game was kind of over. So I wasn't watching, like, every single second, and I haven't had a chance to watch the tape. As you can probably hear, I'm driving. I'm heading back from Philly. But, yeah, I mean, I two timeouts left at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, it's either like, look, take the foot off the gas, don't risk Jaden if that's the thinking, fine. Or, you know, obviously you got to go for it and you know, be aggressive. And it seemed like they kind of took the slow path, but while still sort of trying to get it done. And, yeah, that seemed odd, to say the least, but I'd be lying if I said I had, like, a complete play-by-play feel for what was happening.
Terry was out of the game in a couple of spots. I was curious. There was a 3rd-and-9 he wasn't out on the field. I think there was a 3rd-and-7 yeah, or a 3rd-and-8 he wasn't out on the field. What did you make of that?
Well, I don't know if you saw, you know, I always tweet out the snaps. he actually played four fewer snaps than Noah Brown. Now, Noah Brown in the last couple weeks has sort of been getting closer to Terry as he's maybe emerging as the second receiver, but, like, it's kind of there's no sense that Terry was hurry at all. So that is bonkers, right? I mean, it's not like, even if you tell me Noah Brown's a bigger guy, we needed more run blocking. Okay,
well,
look
at that. 51-47. Yeah. Four more snaps than Terry.
On with that, because like I said, I don't know what game plan you'd be telling me that makes sense, unless it was purely like terrible weather, we need to run the ball, we can't throw, something like that, which obviously wasn't the case. So I thought that was very odd. I mean, look, again, Quinyon Mitchell seemed to do a very good job against Terry in this game. And, one target until the second half, obviously, is, unacceptable. But I don't know. I mean, unless there was some notion that we're like, oh, boy, this is not going to be for our plan or whatever, this is not going to be Terry's game. Let's do some other stuff. It doesn't make any sense why he would be out of the field on some of the plays you were mentioning, let alone less than any other receiver on the team.
What about Benjamin St. Juice's exit in the first half? And we saw Michael Davis for the first time since, I think, week two on the field defensively. What was that about?
Yeah, I mean, my years of rec league sports came in. I was watching him on the sideline, and like you could see him stretching, and the training staff just handling him one bottle of water after another. So it seemed like cramps, and then I asked him after the game, and he said, yeah, I was cramping up. He couldn't really explain why. He said it's kind of his eating schedule has been kind of off this week. I don't know. I know he's a young kid. I don't know. But, like, whatever. He just said it was like a cramp. It was kind of odd, but, that's what he was dealing with. So he didn't go in and out of the lineup, was in more than he wasn't. But, yes, Michael Davis had not been in any part of the rotation basically since week two. I get, if you're going to take Terry out, you want somebody with some size to deal with A.J. Brown. So I get that. But, yeah, it was odd. But at least, I'm not saying at least, but at least it was cramps as opposed to, like, he's dealing with a legitimate injury, and that would have been obviously a tough break.
How did they come out of this game health-wise?
As far as we know, okay. Like, they never, during the game, we get press box updates about guys getting hurt. I don't know if we heard any, because we were waiting for something about St. Juice, and then obviously it never happened, and they explained that, he told us it was cramped. So, yeah, I think as far as we know, they came out okay. But, again, we don't know what Jaden Daniels is dealing with. So, we'll find out. And just for what it's worth, usually we talk to Quinn the day after the game, but we're getting him, I think, Monday. So we won't know anything for now for the next couple of days. The team is going to, going to go their own separate ways for a few days, catch the break, right, whatever. So we won't know anything for sure. But as far as I know, nothing of note.
One surprise, and I haven't talked about this morning, but you just sent me in the direction of the snap count list, is that I thought Brandon Coleman struggled against Pittsburgh, but nowhere near as much as I think he struggled last night. And right, we didn't see Lucas at all. He was active, I believe, but maybe just not, it was emergency only.
Yeah, maybe. Obviously, that was far down along the list of things, so we didn't get to ask that. But I had the same reaction.
Sure.
Like, after watching it, you're like, okay, well, they just did this whole rotation thing for weeks and weeks. This feels like a spot to do that in. I think Lucas only played, I want to say, two special team snaps. So maybe, maybe it was more akin to the Wiley thing last week where he's there, but, let's not use him if we don't have to. But, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're going to play that rotation game, it seems like this would be a game to do it when once you start seeing Coleman get beat, right? I think they had three sacks and he allowed two of them. It was a tough spot for the rookie. And, yes, I agree. If he's healthy, I would have thought Lucas would have played.
All right, good job. Appreciate it. Drive back safely. I'll talk to you this weekend.
See you, man.
All right, Ben Standing, everybody. By the way, I mentioned last hour that there were a couple of plays in the game, Jaden runs, that looked like Jaden, I thought. And there's on the second drive, the touchdown drive, one of those quarterback counters, he did run, and it was quick, and he was through the hole, and he got 5 yards. And then there was a scramble in that final drive where he got out of the pocket. I get it. They were playing soft coverage. But the way he ran looked like him, and he just sort of scooted out of bounds. It wasn't all laboring. Oh, my God, he's in pain. I'm a little bit skeptical that we can just, you know, essentially say, no worries, he's hurt. I think that last night there was a lot more to it. And I personally, like I did with Pittsburgh, I'd give Philadelphia a lot of the credit for that. And maybe some offensive coordinator, offensive line, wide receiver stuff, some of the blame. And him as well. Didn't throw it, didn't get his feet set on a number of throws. But I also, like I said, I'm kind of straddling here. I also don't see a guy that looks like he did in moments earlier in the season consistently throughout. You know, I was saying to Denton, a couple of those sacks, you know, one of them there was a no chancer. But, you know, trying to get up the A-gap, I think, you know, we're expecting him to just explode through it and nobody to touch him, and then for him to be out into the open field. And we certainly didn't see any of those last night, and we didn't see any of those on Sunday. And it could be just that he isn't 100%. And, oh, by the way, the players that they played the last 2 weeks are a lot better than some of the other ones they've played this year. All right, smell test next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7-4 last week, so that's 3 consecutive winning weekends, and I am above 500 for the first time since very early in the season. And I pulled Miami on Monday night. Some of you mentioned to me that you had already played it based on Friday. Well, good. You won the pick. But remember, follow me and check in with me Saturday, sometime typically in the 10 or 11 a.m. hour before games kick, and Sunday in the 12 o'clock hour, because I will pull games and won't add them, but I'll pull them if they go sideways for whatever reason. And the Miami game did, and it looked like the wrong side. It was the right side, as I originally thought, but doesn't count. 7-4, though, last weekend. 69-68-4 for the season. All right, let's go to tomorrow. Nothing tonight. I was telling Denton, and I think I mentioned it to him yesterday, I kind of liked Tulsa last night. Almost gave them out. They covered against East Carolina. You guys know at this point. I tell you the truth. I mean, because many times I'll come in here and say, almost gave out that one last night, and it would have gotten crushed. I liked the under more last night than I liked Washington, but I would have, you know, forced to play the game. I would have played Washington last night plus the 3.5. It went to 4.5, Denton, before kickoff. You saw that, right?
Did, and I may or may not have played it at 4.5.
You played who at 4.5?
I might have played Philly at 4.5.
Well, you know what? It was going in the direction of sharp money, so that would have been the right thing to do. All right, let's go to tomorrow. Texas last week beat Florida 49-17. Arkansas, in their last game 2 weeks ago, gave up nearly 700 yards and lost 63-31 to Ole Miss, who beat Georgia last week. Texas is rolling. This used to be a massive game when you go back to the Southwest Conference of many, many years ago. These two teams were rivals. They played a game way back in the day that Nixon showed up to. It's a very famous game, 1969 or 1970, I forget. Number one versus number two. It was massive. And I think Texas won the game 16-15 or something like that. But anyway, Arkansas is 100% the right side tomorrow. It's down to 12, Denton. It was 13.5. I was going to be able to buy the half point to get it to 14, but there is massive sharp money in Arkansas and lots of public money on Texas. I'll take the Hogs at home plus the 12. Noon kick tomorrow in Fayetteville. Florida last week, already mentioned what Texas did to Florida last week. They got destroyed, and Florida had all these injuries, and they're not, you know, super healthy again this week. LSU, meantime, you know, they got blown out last week against Alabama. Still, Florida getting 4 at this point to anybody seems short. The public is all over LSU laying up what appears to be a very short number. Florida's last two games, losses to A&M by 15. I'm sorry, Florida's last two games, losses to Georgia by 14, Texas by 32. LSU's not as good as Georgia or Texas. And I like Florida. I like the Gators tomorrow in the Swamp plus the four against LSU. South Alabama is getting 7 against Louisiana. Denton, does Louisiana have an outside shot as a non-Power 5?
No. I mean, it'd be a super-duper outside shot.
I mean, they've got one loss, right?
They got one loss, but I don't know that the committee has even thought about ranking them.
Okay. Are they not ranked?
No, Tulane, Boise, those are the teams that right now have the best opportunity.
Louisiana, the only loss they have was a close loss to Tulane, who's good. Plays Navy, by the way, tomorrow. South Alabama is on the road against Louisiana, LL, the Raging Cajuns. And the line is 7. I'll take the underdog, South Alabama, plus the 7. Oregon's on the road in Madison tomorrow night. Line is less than 14, less than 2 touchdowns. People love the Ducks, the number one team in the land. I'll buy the half point and take Wisconsin plus the 14. And I think we talked about this game earlier in the week when we were talking college football. BYU may be the most disrespected, excellent team in the country when it comes to the odds makers. You know, it has started to catch up. They win games, but they haven't covered 2 of their last 4 or 2 of their last 3. They didn't cover against Utah. Probably should have lost the game last week. Didn't cover against Oklahoma State. I had them in both of those games. I also had them the other team against I had UCF against BYU and lost that one. How is it that a 9-0 team playing a 3-6 team is only a 2.5-point favorite at home? Man, BYU, none of the odds makers think they're that good. I'll buy the half point and take the Jayhawks plus the 3. Let's go to Sunday. We'll start in Tennessee. They are getting less than a touchdown against the Vikings, and the public is lined up on Minnesota. Tennessee, not a very good team, but they are good defensively. And Sam Darnold has become a turnover machine. Tennessee's played well defensively virtually every week except the Detroit game, which was a little bit weird. Special teams played into that big score. Defense played into that big score. I think Minnesota struggles offensively like they did against Jacksonville in Tennessee. I like the Titans plus the 6. The Browns, they go to the Superdome tomorrow where the Saints, and I had them last week against the Falcons, are laying a point. public all of a sudden likes the new coach in New Orleans. Usually those new coaches in their first game do really well, and then the team comes back to earth with the next game. I'll take the Browns plus the one. This is the one that, given how they've been playing, you're going to really have to hold your nose and suck it up here. Green Bay's laying a mere 5.5 on the road against Chicago, a team that has completely, you know, soiled themselves since the Hail Mary. They lost by 20 on the road to Arizona. At home last week, it got really ugly. They fired Shane Waldron. They got a new offensive coordinator. Lots of stuff going on there. Did you read the story, Denton, about Tyson Badgett, the backup quarterback's father? Has been putting a bunch of stuff out there in social media about kind of getting certain reporters to report that the team wants his son to start, not Caleb Williams, and apparently it's all BS. Have you seen any of that?
I saw the initial reports. I didn't realize that the dad was playing puppet master.
Apparently he is. I mean, that's according to the internet, and we know the internet isn't always right. This is the biggest public game aside of the weekend. The Packers are a massive public play. I'll take the Bears. I don't know how they do it. I honestly don't. This is one where it doesn't seem like they should have a good chance, but I'll take the Bears plus the 5.5 on general principle. And then the Chargers are laying 1.5 at home to Cincinnati, and the public really likes Cincinnati in this game. I actually think the line's kind of right. There's also some sharp money on the Chargers. I'll take the Chargers at home laying 1.5 over the Bengals. That's it for now. Dallas may be a play on Monday night, but I'll talk about that one on Monday. Arkansas plus 12, Florida plus 4, South Alabama plus 7, Wisconsin plus 14, and Kansas plus 3 on Saturday. Actually, let me just tell you, South Alabama is now 7.5 everywhere. So that's 7. I'm going to take the 7.5. I see it now up on this board in front of me, 7.5 almost in every shop. So it went up a half point. I'll still stick with, I think it's the Jaguars, South Alabama, plus 7.5. And then Sunday, Titans, Browns, Bears, Chargers. There you go. Good luck. For entertainment purposes only. When we come back, we'll preview the NFL Sunday and pick the two biggest games on the board, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Buffalo. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Rough Thursday for the Commanders in Philadelphia. They lose their second in a row, fourth on the season. They fall to the Eagles 26-18. They're now 7-4. On the year, get a bit of an extended time off before they take on Dallas next weekend. Brian Robinson returned to the starting lineup. He had 63 yards on 16 carries and a touchdown. Jaden went 22-32 for 191 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. It was his third interception of the season. He generally didn't look like himself for a majority of the football game. You got a big weekend and big night tonight for DC Sports, DC Area Sports, starting with the Terps. They're in action against Marquette, pregame at 7:30, tip at 8. That one's going to be at College Park. The Wizards in action against the Atlanta Hawks, tip off at 7:30. That one will be heard on 99.1 Maryland right here on the Team 980. And over on 106.7 The Fan, you get the Caps in action. They're in Colorado. Puck drops at 9 in that one. And that's what's trending.
We got two big games Sunday. One in the 1 o'clock window, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, and then we've got Buffalo-Kansas City. But where do you want to start?
Before we get to them, I think we should start elsewhere out of those big games. How about the Packers and the Bears? You kind of talked about this one, but I find this one to be really interesting. If the Bears can somehow win this one, I think it makes that NFC North conversation tighter, certainly. But they're, like, not out of it, despite how much of a disaster the past few weeks.
Who's not out of it?
The Bears.
Are you being serious right now?
Not for the NFC North, but I mean their season is not over. From a wild card perspective, they win this game, they're 5-5.
Yeah. Look, I gave him out as a smell test pick, but what did I tell you during the break? I said, my God, I've got some terrible teams in the smell test Sunday. The Titans, the Browns, and the Bears. I don't consider the Bears, even if they were to win on Sunday, much. They have not. Isn't this their first division game?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get beaten up a little bit. I'm just saying mathematically a win here makes that conversation for the wild card. They're at least still in it, even though it'd be a far in it.
Okay, where are we going next?
All right, how about another game that's not quite game of the week, but a big one? You got the Seahawks on the road against the 49ers. The Seahawks 4-5, the Niners at 5-4. The Niners starting to get healthy a little bit, and they're not, for the first time in a while, in the month of November, they're not in the in first place in their division right now. That spot currently held by Arizona, so that's a big one if they get to 6-4.
I was reading two things about this matchup. Number one is Brock Purdy in his short career is like 8-2 against the NFC West. One of those losses was this year. Remember when they blew the lead and lost to the Cardinals. And that Christian McCaffrey has apparently owned Seattle in his games against Seattle. He averages like 175 yards Jeez. From scrimmage against the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks, actually, this is a game in which if they're going to be in the hunt for a wild card, they got to somehow go to San Francisco and win Sunday. If not, at 4-6 in that division, you start to kind of, you know, we might see Sam Howell at some point. I don't think it's been a Geno Smith problem necessarily. But I think Seattle still has two with the Cardinals. Big spot for the 49ers, too, because they're now in chase mode with the Cardinals. I like the 49ers, I think, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a close game.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. They're a 6.5-point favorite. All right, real quick, Falcons and Broncos. The Falcons have a really good chance to put some distance between them and Tampa for the division. If they win this game, they'd be 7-4.
Yeah, there are a couple of things about this game that I think are problematic for Atlanta. Atlanta can't stop anybody, and the Broncos can run the ball. And Bo Nix has been efficient, especially against bad defensive teams. Number two, Denver's the best defensive team. I don't know if they're the best defensive team in the league. They're certainly a top five defensive team in the league right now. I'm looking up to see where they are DVOA-wise defense, because I know they're ranked high. They are six in the league DVOA-wise. They've played very well defensively. I think this is a bad spot for Atlanta, and I think what you and I talked about earlier in the week, I would not count out Tampa in the NFC South.
Yeah,
I would not count them out.
They're big Broncos fans this weekend. All right, here's the first of the two big ones. This one in the early window. You got the Ravens on the road against Pittsburgh. Lamar struggles historically against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If Pittsburgh gets to 8-2 while Baltimore is 7-4,
right,
that's some distance between those two teams, knowing that they will play again this year.
Yeah, they're going to play again. And, you know, the Steelers, you know, still have to play the Bengals. They got to play the Eagles. They've got to go on the road and play the Chiefs. And Baltimore's got some of those games as well. This is big for Pittsburgh. If they're gonna make a statement here that they are different than what they've been, which is just a middling, just over 500 team that, you know, is a 7 seed, they win Sunday. I give them a really good chance to win. They're different offensively with Russell Wilson, and kudos to him because, first of all, every spot, people haven't liked him. His teammates haven't liked him. He's been incredibly aloof. We know that from that story that was written in ESPN a few years ago. And Tomlin doesn't care about that stuff. Tomlin told him, you're not going to have your own office. You're not going to have your entourage in the facility. You're going to do it my way. If you want to salvage the last year or two of your career, you're going to do it my way. You're going to be a part of the group. And Russell has bought in, clearly. So I like the Steelers Sunday.
I kind of like Baltimore. I think people are making a little too much of the fact that Lamar has struggled against them, and he is playing the best football of his career.
There's no disputing that.
Yeah.
He has played the best football of his career. By the way, every one of their games just always seems to be 16-13 or 19-16.
Yeah, very
so you'll
low
have
scoring.
One of those.
The game that I don't think is going to be low scoring is the second one. This is going to be the one that everybody's locked into. You got the Chiefs, you got the Bills, the Chiefs unbeaten, the Bills at 8-2. They're on the road in Buffalo, they being the Chiefs, on the road in Buffalo, and Buffalo is a 2-point favorite.
I actually think, like last night, I think this game won't be as high scoring as people think. The Chiefs are awesome defensively, and I think they can control the football a little bit more against Buffalo than they did even against Denver, because Denver is actually better. I like the Chiefs Sunday. I like the Chiefs to go in and get to 10-0.
I don't. I think the Bills get them. I think the Bills get them. I kind of think I think Josh Allen is going to supplant himself as the definitive number two in the MVP conversation. I think the Bills hand the Chiefs their first loss of the year.
I think we might be talking about Mahomes putting himself back into the MVP race on Monday with a big win, playing well. You know what? After last night, we need to just chill. We're going to be okay. 7-4. We would have paid for it. And, you know, they got a mini bye here, and we can just enjoy, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City, Buffalo on Sunday. Enjoy the football. Go Terps tonight and tomorrow night. You got to get this one against Rutgers, Coach Locks, because that'll keep them in the bowl possibility range. A loss and it's over. Back on Monday.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.